Our last kind of official chat, although we're talking about possibly touching base after the session is over, but the session is over Sunday. It might even be over on Saturday. This is a long legislative session in Olympia, and it seems like just yesterday we were chatting with Senator Drew McEwen for the first time, and we've chatted with him every week since, and we appreciate your time, Senator. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you. Yourself?
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. Had a fairly restful weekend, and now it's my weekend from the county job, so I'm doing all right here. And I want to talk about a couple of things that nobody – well, I shouldn't say that. I used to say nobody wants to talk about taxes, but some people can't get enough of them. They can't get enough of raising other people's taxes, I guess. And I'll be honest with you. One of the things that drove us out of California, and I was born and raised there, left in my late 40s to move here. One of the things that drove us out was the unaffordability of California. It was ridiculous. And it looked like Washington was a little bit more of the promised land, if you will. And, you know, we told our kids, you'll be able to afford a house here. And I feel like we lied to them. I mean, they can't afford a house. They can barely afford rent. So all these promises of you know, like, oh, it's going to be so much better and the grass is always greener over there, didn't pan out. And it's getting worse and worse. I mean, you know, young people today can't even afford a place in a bad part of a town, a bad area of town, let alone where they want to live. And taxes aren't helping at all. So I would think that we would be bringing tax relief to the people of Washington, but it looks like some people in power want to do just the opposite. So let's talk about a couple of these taxes. You want to talk about the property tax first? Because this is one that affects so many people. It affects so many people.
Yep. In Washington's quest to be California when it grows up, we continue to go down this path of more and more revenue. There's never been a look to the other side of the ledger and see where can we reduce spending. It's always about getting more. And so last week, 20 Senate Democrats proposed increasing the cap of the increase that can occur on property taxes. Right now, it's capped at 1% that municipalities can state government for that matter can increase the property tax levy. Keep in mind that does not values continue to go up, and so that impacts you know, the overall tax rate as well that you pay. So what they're proposing is that going from 1% to 3%, basically allowing the cap to triple, and and collect an exorbitant amount of money at both the state and the local level, whether it's school boards or county, et cetera. I stand here and I question them, and they want to do it in the name of making things more affordable because they'll use the money for other programs, right?
Sure.
I have yet to see in any economic book where you raise the cost that somehow subsequently lowers the cost. I have yet to find that, but that is the path that continues to be drawn out in Olympia, and it's frustrating. And then you combine that with they have a proposal to increase the REIT tax, the real estate excise tax, which is what's paid when a property is sold, and that's working through right now as well. And here we are, we have budgets that have been put out that don't rely on tax increases. They touted that a couple weeks ago when they rolled out their budgets in both the Senate and the House, that these don't rely on tax increases, we don't need them. And then they do those proposals and turn around and offer tax increases. And it just blows me away in a time which we've got inflation that we have, housing prices are high. I'm without words. I do not get the mentality that they have. When we've seen our state budget more than double over 10 years, and I would argue that the majority of Washingtonians' incomes have not doubled over the last 10 years. It's an out of touch legislature, and it's very, very disheartening to see this happening.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Is like when gas prices were creeping up, I knew people that were saying things like, oh, it's only, you know, 20 cents more than we paid last year. But yeah, but you're not making 20 cents more an hour than you were last year, probably. So where does this money come from? It has to, you either have enough disposable income that you don't worry about gas prices going up and property taxes going up, or you have to say, wait a minute, if I'm paying an extra $1,000 a year or $2,000 or $10,000 on my house, I have to find where that money is going to come from. And it doesn't come out of thin air. Like these people, they're all magicians, I guess, a lot of them, that they could just materialize all this extra income. One thing I want to throw in here real quick and see what your thoughts are is the whole the bill that passed to allow more, what is it, duplexes and triplexes in most cities in Washington, right to deal with the housing crisis. But I'm seeing a push away from the American dream of owning a house. Is that my imagination, or are a lot of politicians trying to push us into apartment complexes for some reason? I'm wondering why they're not addressing the fact that so many Washingtonians can't afford to buy a house, instead of trying to pack everybody in like sardines into quadplexes and triplexes and having a triplex around every corner. Is that the solution, to just pack us into apartments and make us renters for the rest of our lives?
Well, so on that particular bill, it allows for, it gives local control. Cities can choose whether or not to do this type of zoning. And you can build townhomes and duplexes and have them as being sold units. They don't necessarily have to be a rental, right?
Okay.
But it does allow that in single family zoning under that bill that was passed. It was House Bill 1110, I believe. That in the single family zoning, you could put a duplex or a triplex. You have some valid arguments there. The flip side of that is we're short 50,000 housing units a year, and that so every year we go by that we don't build 50,000, we're that much further in the hole. I think, to be fair, we have to look at all solutions. I mean, I don't personally want to live in urban condensed area. That's why I choose to live where I live, but some people do like that. And again, under that particular bill, it would give cities like Shelton the option to do that. They don't necessarily have to, and I think that was a key component to that bill, is that it allows for that final local, decision. And, so if it works in one community, it might not in another, and that's all right. I don't have a problem with that. It's sure. What I have a problem with is when we mandate it that you must, that's when it gets problematic.
Yeah, that's true. The word must is a very questionable word when it comes to stuff coming out of Olympia or any, Washington, D.C. or anywhere else. We talked about the property tax cap. Then there's the tax where when you sell your home, that's going to cost you more?
Yep, real estate excise tax.
Oh, yep. Boy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so there's a proposal to increase that, and then they would use that money for, to quote-unquote, build affordable housing. We've spent, in the time that I've been in the legislature, billions of dollars on quote affordable housing. And again, we're now going to increase the tax rate that's being paid. That's paid by, when a transaction occurs in real estate, that's not, magic money that's fallen out of the tree. It's real money that consumers are going to pay. It makes the transaction more expensive, makes housing more expensive, but we're going to do that and say that that's going to make it less expensive, and it just defies logic. So I, again, very frustrated by this process, and I think one of the problems that we have in Olympia, amongst many, is that when we talk about affordable housing, there's two different things. There's affordable housing, your first time home buyer, your average wage earner being able to afford a home. I think that's what most people envision when they hear affordable housing. But when Olympia is talking affordable housing, often what they're talking about is subsidized housing. And they're two different things. It doesn't mean one's, that one should take precedence over another. But a lot of times these funds are being used to build public housing in the urban areas that are not contributing to home ownership. And we've really got to start to wrap our head around those differences. And again, the proposal to increase the REIT tax is not going to solve the affordable housing issue. Bottom line, we have a lack of inventory in the state versus the number of people we have in the state. And we have to also look at why is that. We can't continue to put Band-Aid on Band-Aid and say, oh, we're addressing the problem. No, the root cause of the problem is every regulation, every fee, every permit, every delay, every land use restriction that Olympia imposes on this state has added to the cost of housing. Right now, it's estimated, depending on where you're building, $30,000 to $50,000 is related to permit and planning.
Wow.
We wonder why housing's not affordable. We change the energy code every 12 to 18 months and make it more and more restrictive. We wonder why housing's not affordable. We put mandates on what you can and can't put in to your home now. based on that energy code. And a lot of times these things aren't readily available. And we wonder why housing's not affordable. I mean, it goes down the line, and it's a $25 fee here. It's a 1% increase on the tax rate here. And it's an extra permit here. And you know what? It's getting so convoluted. You're not going to be able to unwind this real easily.
No,
it's the proverbial death by a thousand cuts. And so until we have a significant political change in Olympia, we're not going to be able to reverse that trend, in my opinion. And, you know, and I we need more and more people just to speak up about, you know, the true cost of home ownership or the inability, frankly, to have home ownership.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, too, Senator, is you look at, like you said, all the energy codes and everything. We were looking into that and we couldn't believe the list of things. Like you have to, it was like a menu at a restaurant, but they go, you must pick this one or this one or this one, but you can't have this, this or this. And I thought to myself, boy, the houses most of us grew up in, maybe even many of our first or second homes that we've owned, they would land us in prison or the builder in prison if they built a house like that anymore. You can't build houses like that. You have all these restrictions on what you can do.
And they want, and they want a house to be so tight under the energy code that when I say tight, I'm talking about the ability to move air, because the theory being that if the house is real tight, then you don't need to use as much energy to heat it or cool it. Right. Well, I don't know about you, but I like fresh air. I like to be able to have more windows open. I mean, if I'm cold, I'll close the windows, right? But I mean, it's and I'm simplifying it quite a bit, but that's what we face. And it's, you know, now we have the push to get rid of natural gas. And that's, you know, that's an affordable energy source that, that burns cleaner than many of the energy forms that create electricity. And that, and if we're going to do that and go down that path, we are going to significantly increase utility bills on people that can least afford it. And right now, it's estimated that roughly 40% of the people in this state struggle to pay their energy bill every month. And if we're going to get rid of one of the cheapest, most abundant sources, that figure is only going to go up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for your hard work this legislative session. I know it's a long one. It's a lot of long hours for you and a lot of hard work. And I appreciate it. Today's our official kind of last chat, but we've talked about maybe doing something after the session is over at some point. But I want to thank you for all these weeks you've been with us and all the time you've given to us. And we appreciate what you're doing to represent the 35th district.
It's my pleasure. I thank the people for the honor to serve them. And that, I might be grouse here a little bit this morning, but, yeah, this is why you sent me, is to stand up for our rights and our freedoms. And it's an absolute honor to serve the people in the state capitol. And welcome criticism and compliments on both ends of that. And, we can always strive to do better. And I just appreciate the opportunity to always have this weekly chat with you.
Well, thank you very much. And maybe we'll talk again after the session ends. You said the session might even adjourn on Saturday. Is that correct? It officially ends on Sunday? This coming Sunday?
Yeah, we have to adjourn by midnight on Sunday, but nothing stops us from doing so earlier. And there's, I'm hearing rumblings, there's an outside chance everything might come together a day early, and that's fine, that'd be great, but it's not gonna, it won't be because of some deal that makes everything better. It's just that we got it done in time, and that's sure. A good thing.
Absolutely. Well, people can look you up online, of course, and they can join your email list and stay updated on all the bills you're sponsoring. And we'll chat again real soon, one way or the other. I appreciate it, Senator.
Likewise. Thank you, Spencer.
Hey, you take care. Thank you. Senator Drew McEwen, representing the 35th Legislative District, which, of course, is all of Mason County, parts of Kitsap, parts of Thurston. The website is drewmcewen.src.wastateleg.org. So thank Drew McEwen, MACEWEN.SRC.WA State Leg for Legislature.org.